There you go, like that. There you go. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Let's go there to start with. Serving the Lord, friends, has its privileges, but it may also have a price that you may have to pay, as we're going to see tonight. Especially if you are serious about serving the Lord. You know, there's all kinds of opposition in life, and if you're serious about serving Jesus Christ, pulling out the stops in your life, sanctifying the Lord God in your heart, you're going to stand out. You're going to be different than everybody else. And in light of being different than everybody else, you're going to be noted and possibly persecuted for that. You know, there are trials and afflictions that God uses to develop His children and to glorify Himself. This is true in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. Peter states it this way in 1 Peter 2, verses 19 and 20. Look there with me. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, a right conscience, one endures grief suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer? If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So God wants us to do what we do as unto the Lord, do what we do for the glory of God. And that's why, how does patiently enduring injustice glorify God? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? It certainly is. Because when we trust the Lord for the outcome, whatever it may be, we are pointing to the reality of our faith, and this testifies to the grace of God and glorifies our Heavenly Father. And God wants to be glorified in our lives. Back up with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 here. Look here for a minute. 1 Peter 1, let's start in verse 3. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." There are those oppositions. Why those trials? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay? And of this salvation, the prophets in the Old Testament have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. You know, in our Christian life as well as in our Savior's life, oftentimes suffering has to precede glory. And oftentimes we take it in the neck when we have face opposition and difficulties. We're going to see from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took it in the neck, but at the same time, they trusted the Lord. They trusted their life to His outcome. And that's why Christ is the example for us, and we need to understand that. So turn over for me to 1 Peter 2:24. We'll look there first at a verse about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. "Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." Christ died, paid for our sins on Calvary's cross. He's provided redemption and salvation. We can have it through simple faith in Him. 3:18 says it this way, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Christ died that we could live, and that's the whole issue. Now, with suffering wrongfully, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Let's go back and look at Daniel chapter 3 and see what's going on there in Daniel chapter 3. First of all, the context of Daniel chapter 3. Let's talk for a minute about the context. What's been going on here? What is the issue going on in this particular chapter? Well, the time of Daniel chapter 3 is approximately 586 B.C. We closed last week in chapter 2, which took place in 602 B.C. So a great amount of time has gone by here. I mean, years, 15, 16 years, whatever that would be, have gone by, maybe more. And so with a number of years have passed since Nebuchadnezzar's vision or the dream that he had. And some of the events of this time period include Nebuchadnezzar's return to Jerusalem in 597 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar had King Jehoiakim of Judah killed for his rebellion, as well as the deportation of 10,000 more Jews, along with Ezekiel the prophet, who along with Daniel would never return to Israel again. Then in 586, Nebuchadnezzar returned again to Israel to crush Jerusalem at this time, scatter the remaining Jews, and to completely destroy the temple in Jerusalem. The temple would lie in ruins until Ezra, Nehemiah, returned to occupy and rebuild the walls 70 years later. God had told them in Jeremiah, you're going to captivity, you're going for 70 years. You're going to be there. He says, put down roots, get married, do whatever you have to do. Jeremiah 29, you read it. Okay? And even tells them in Jeremiah 29, you pray for Nebuchadnezzar, you pray for him. Amazing that God would tell them that. Now, with Nebuchadnezzar's conquest and crushing of Jerusalem and the temple, and all the sacred things of the temple were removed and transported to Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar's worship center, I think he felt pretty invulnerable. Invincible could be the term. Because it's been all these years, even though he had a dream that an inferior nation was going to come after him, he has not seen this come to pass. And because of this, this head of gold image that he had, and his head is just maybe swelling up a little bit, all of this presumably discredits